Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back to another Q&A podcast episode. I am here with co-coach Lauren, who is slightly under the weather, but pushing through for you today. Lauren, how are you feeling?
I'm all right. I think I'm going to make it through this one. It's a cold. I don't get sick very often. And I'm learning that I don't like to be sick. It's not fun. And I'm a little bit of a baby about it, but we're pushing through today.
Honestly, when I saw on your Instagram stories, you didn't even tell me that you weren't feeling well. And I messaged with like, you're sick last night before this episode recording. I thought, you know what? I'm pretty positive. On our last Q&A, you said that you were afraid to talk about how healthy your family was because you didn't want to jinx it. And this week you had a vomiting kid and you yourself have come down with a little bit of a cold. I'm sorry.
I knew it was coming. And if we can kind of like stop it here, then I'll be still extremely grateful that we made it through the season. So who knows what kind of snowball effect the puker in the house and my cold in the house is going to have on the rest of the family. But I mean, so far so good. Again, let's knock on some wood because I don't want to have to deal with just like those weeks after weeks where everybody is sick, like you have had to deal with, where everybody just keeps getting knocked down.
Here's to hoping, fingers crossed. It's a once and done. Yeah.
It's all you can do. Let's just wash our hands and hope for the best.
One day at a time. Here we go. We are here, as per usual, to answer your burning nutrition, mindset, fat loss, et cetera, related questions. And we've got a couple of good ones today. So I will kick us off with the following question, because I think this one is probably relatable to most listeners. The question is, I'm torn between eating more when I'm hungry and sticking to my calorie goals. What do you recommend? Should I eat more when I feel hungry, even if I go over my calories for the day, or should I stick to my goals?
Like so many questions in the nutrition space, this one, the answer truly is it depends, right? It depends on so many factors. With this person talking about calorie goals, I'm going to make the assumption that her overall goal is fat loss. And with that answer, it's a two or three parter here. So number one, when you are working towards fat loss, some hunger is inevitable. It's an unfortunate part of the process. I always really like to emphasize that some hunger does not mean constant hunger. It does not mean out of control hunger. It does not mean you're starving all day long and thinking about food all day long. That is not sustainable fat loss. So depending on what this person means by hunger, it could mean like, yeah, if your goal is fat loss, some hunger is part of that process a little bit. I'd recommend you really focus on upping protein and fiber in this situation to keep that off as much as possible. But yeah, there's going to be hunger part of the problem, is part of the process. That being said, if you're experiencing a lot of hunger, if you're going to bed thinking about food and you're waking up starving and thinking about food, I would encourage you to eat a little bit more. Well, first, I would encourage you to do a food audit. Are you hitting those protein and fiber targets? Because if protein and fiber aren't high and where they should be, you are going to feel even more hungry. So I would make sure within your calorie goal, are you eating the right types of foods to help mitigate that hunger as much as possible? Are you mainly eating whole foods? Are you really focusing on hitting a lot of protein and fiber at every meal? If the answer to those is yes, and you're still feeling a lot of hunger, I would encourage you to add a little bit more of food in, because we don't want to be starving all of the time. And to me, it'd be much more worth, hey, this fat loss process might take a couple of extra weeks, but I feel so much better throughout the process. Then, yeah, I can get there a little bit faster, but man, I was starving and white knuckling my way through. And a lot of, we know so often that backfires into, oh my God, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to eat the whole pizza type of thinking. So there's so much nuance with this question. And there's so much of it depends. And I have so many follow-up questions, but those are my basic thoughts of number one, make sure you're eating the right kind of foods within your calorie goal. If yes, you are, and you're just experiencing some hunger, understand that's part of the process. If yes, you are, and you're experiencing constant hunger, it's time to eat a little bit more. What are your thoughts?
I think you answered the question beautifully based on what we know, because I agree with you. There's a lot of questions I want to ask the author of this particular question that was submitted before I felt confident giving an answer. But I think first and foremost, are you doing everything you can to mitigate the hunger that you're feeling? You mentioned protein, fiber. I would also add hydration and food volume. So just because you're eating at your calorie goal, does that mean you're eating a high volume of food that equals the calories that you're aiming for? Or are you eating a lot of really energy dense foods that equal your calorie goal, but maybe don't take up a lot of space in your stomach? So for example, a serving of dried fruit is about a quarter cup. I don't know the last time you looked at a quarter measuring cup. It's not very much. So if you are choosing to snack on one single serving of, I don't know, dried cranberries or dried fruit, and maybe like some nut butter, both of those things are very energy or calorie dense. They're not going to take up a ton of space in your stomach. Now, I might choose to have a serving of fresh fruit, which might be 1 to 2 cups, depending on the fruit that I'm choosing. And maybe for my fat, I'm going to go something like almonds instead of nut butter. That's going to take up a little bit of space in my stomach. Nutritionally, they're exactly the same, right? One serving of carb, one serving of fat, but it's more voluminous for me to choose the fresh fruit over the dried fruit and the nuts over the nut butter. Now, that's not saying you can't ever have dried fruit and nut butter. Please, by all means, do. But if you find that you're super, super hungry in a fat loss phase, I like to play around with food volume, because for me, I do find that it makes a very big difference, as well as for a lot of the clients that I work with. If you're doing all those things, check, 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 you're still hungry, I would agree with you. Let's add a little bit more food in, because if you are constantly, incessantly hungry, this is not sustainable. Now, if you're worried that you're going to negate the calorie deficit by adding more food in, my next thought would be, well, is there any way for us to increase non-exercise activity? So are you getting a decent amount of steps, or could you increase your steps? When it comes to physical activity, what the research shows us is that if we're performing moderate to vigorous exercise, especially cardio, our appetite tends to increase along with the physical activity increase. But if we are increasing non-exercise activity, walking, taking the stairs, just all the movement we acquire throughout the day that is not exercise, that's not eating, that's not sleeping, that does not come with a hunger increase. So if I'm looking to maintain my calorie deficit, I could eat a little bit more and move a little bit more in terms of non-exercise activity. And then last but not least, I would also say, look, let's look at the big picture here. If you are feeling so ravenously hungry, you feel like you're doing everything you can from a movement perspective, from an appetite regulation perspective, and you're still super hungry when you are at your goals, is the additional fat loss you're trying to create worth it? It doesn't sound like the lifestyle that you're trying to lead is very sustainable if you're hungry all the freaking time. So maybe that means the outcome you're trying to reach is just not a sustainable one or a healthy one either. And I know that that's not news anybody wants to hear. And it's not necessarily the right answer for this author either, but something to consider.
Yeah. And I have two kind of follow-up to that too. Number one, your hunger fluctuates. You might have days where you are extra hungry and you do need some more calories. And then you might have days where you're not as hungry. You don't have to eat the same amount every single day, fat loss or not fat loss. You aren't a robot. Your activity changes throughout the day. Your hormones fluctuate. Like, all these things are going to have an impact on your hunger levels. So we talk about this all the time, but it is really important to learn to kind of hone into those hunger and fullness cues and recognize, especially during fat loss, when is this just a little bit of a normal hunger I'm experiencing because I'm in a fat loss phase? And when is this some additional excess hunger that I need to address and honor and give my body some more energy? So don't put yourself in a box where you have to eat the exact same amount of calories every single day, even during fat loss. Another point, and it is thrown out of my brain. It's in the fuzzy, like, sick part of my brain right now. It's gone. So maybe it'll come to me later.
I will just echo exactly what you just said, and then make mention of the fact that hunger is a normal physiological response. I think we would both agree that everyone should be able to sit with hunger without it feeling like an emergency. However, the difference we're trying to make is that if you are constantly hungry and you are ravenously hungry to the point where the food noise is just never quieting, you're thinking about food all the time, you're constantly obsessing about when you get to eat next and whether it's going to put you over your calorie goal. Like if that's the kind of hunger we're talking about, it's too much. We got to do something about it.
I remembered. It was basically that a conservative calorie deficit of maybe 200 to 300 calories will still get you to your goal. And so like what you were saying with expectations, it is okay to just extend out that timeline a bit and be okay with slower progress if it means more manageable hunger and just more enjoyment and sustainable process. Like who doesn't want to be able to lose fat and enjoy the process and not be hungry all the time? So I would encourage you to understand that a 200 to 300 calorie deficit can still get you to your goals. Of course, it will take a little bit longer, but it might be worth it versus that like 500 to 600 calorie deficit where you, like you just said, are having that hunger where all you're doing is thinking about food, food, food. When do I get to eat next? Because that's not a fun way to live.
Yeah. Also, I want to make this point, but I feel like we're now like, you know, word vomiting all of the things that could possibly be, but I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't make mention of this. You mentioned hunger ebbs and flows. And to that point, I say, are you constantly, consistently experiencing this hunger at your current calorie goal? Or is this something that could just be a result of your menstrual cycle or a shitty week of sleep or an extra super stressful season of life? You know, those things we have seen through the literature do increase hunger, do increase appetite. So perhaps what you're navigating is not really about food so much as other lifestyle things going on, and it's temporary. But again, I think we're saying if this is something that you continue to experience for a prolonged period of time, you got to do something about it. But for anyone who is experiencing hunger on a random day or for whatever reason this week you're extra hungry, wait it out. It might dissipate.
Okay, this is a good question because it just shows how much more information we need. There's like a million different avenues to take with this one single question that seems kind of simple. Like, I'm feeling extra hungry. Should I stick to my calories or not? And there's like thousands of follow-up questions and things to consider. So it's just, the answer is almost always it depends. And it depends on a lot of variables and factors that Agreed. Are very individualized. Yeah.
Agreed. Okay, so we have our second question is very, very different. And it might sound a little silly, but I will say this is a question that I would have asked myself out of embarrassment for asking anyone else when I was really, really, really deeply stuck in disordered eating. The question is, does the nutrition information on jarred products like pickles include the liquid or just the food?
My first thought with this question was, oh my goodness, if we are stressing out about the calories in pickle juice, we have a much bigger problem than whether or not the calories are included in the nutrition facts. And it brought me back to my own tracking days when I would stress out about, am I getting this perfectly? Am I doing this exactly right? And this isn't the answer the person wants to hear, but of all the foods as well, I would like to say pickles are like unbelievably low in calories. So if you're stressing out about pickle juice in particular, you're honing in on the wrong thing to me. To me, those kind of like nitpicky, micromanaging, obsessive control over every single detail means that you have a lot of work to do with your relationship with food and your relationship with tracking. And that should probably be the priority versus determining how many calories worth of pickle juice you have in a day, because it's probably going to be less than 10 calories. It's not a problem. It's not going to impact your weight or your progress in literally any meaningful way whatsoever. And then I kept thinking about it because, again, I could put myself in this place. And I did remember a couple of examples of, okay, so the pickle juice one, yeah, that's going to have literally no effect on anything.
Okay, but what if we give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they're not worried about the calories in the pickle juice, but the sodium? Maybe.
Okay, then that's another, then I have more follow-up questions of, are you an avid exerciser? Do you have blood pressure problems? Is sodium something you really need to, you know, be concerned about? Are you eating a diet of a lot of like ultra processed foods that are higher in sodium? Or do you have a mostly whole foods, you know, minimally processed diet? So again, there's so many follow-up questions there with even the sodium. But if you're really worried about sodium, I guess I would, yeah, minimize the pickle juice. I don't know, it sounds so kind of funny to talk about. But yeah, the one example that popped into my head where, okay, I could see how this could actually have a meaningful impact on your overall calorie goals was beans. I remember learning this when I was tracking food and I drained my beans and I measured out in grams the amount of, you know, whatever the serving size was. And the can of beans said it had 3.5 servings, but when I measured out the grams, it was about half the can. And I remember thinking, well, this can't be right. And so, yes, to answer the actual question, unless it specifically states that it is drained, a drained serving size, which some labels have that on there, some foods do. I think I actually just use like artichokes and it mentioned like a drained serving. But unless it specifically states drained, then yes, it does include all of the liquid. So that is the actual answer to the question. But of course, I can't just say, yeah, sure, include the liquid. I need to go much further because I have so many follow-ups and so many thoughts on it. And it triggers so much for me personally. Like, oh, I remember those days of having to get everything down to the gram and down to the exact calorie. And yeah, my overall thought with this question is if you're concerned about pickle juice calories, we have more work to do than just getting tracking 100% right.
I agree with you. And when this question was asked to me, I honestly really appreciated it because it took me back to a place where I was worried about the 5-10 extra calories in pickle juice. And I get what it's like to be stuck there. And I'm so appreciative for where I am today in my relationship with food. But to your point, there are other things. I mean, I think pickled beets, as someone who was born and raised in Lancaster County, like pickled beets are a big thing there. I also think canned tuna, salmon, chicken, like those things come with water or oil, depending on which type that you purchase. So it differs brand to brand, bottom line. But take a look at the nutrition label. Is it saying drained contents, or is it just saying 1 ounce, 2 ounce, 3 ounces, in which case it's probably including the liquid. But if you are not concerned about this, if you are not trying to lose like the last 5 to 10 pounds, this is probably irrelevant to you. And just a fun fact. So for what it's worth. Okay. Next question. This was the biggest compliment, Lauren. I received a DM from someone yesterday who was referencing my last podcast episode, which I also did a post on. And one of the things I mentioned in said post and podcast episode was that if you want the banana, you can eat the whole freaking banana, like in a single sitting. Stop freaking out about bananas. The hype is way overblown. And she responded on Facebook and said, I loved the message that it's okay to eat bananas. I include it in my protein shake with a healthy fat. She said, I'm a faithful listener of the podcast and have learned so much. I know, it's so sweet. So naturally, because I knew we were recording this today, I followed up and said, hey, is there anything that Lauren and I could chat more about in tomorrow's episode that specifically relates to what you're navigating right now? And she said, actually, there is. So she and her sister, ages 68 and 66, are working with a trainer twice a week, and they are really working on trying to build muscle and lose body fat. But their biggest challenge is getting enough protein. She said, we do protein shakes, which she just mentioned they're making their own, salads with chicken and yogurt. There's not really a question there, but I believe what she's asking is, if I'm struggling with getting enough protein, obviously that's very important as someone who is looking to A, build muscle and or B, lose body fat. Do you have any suggestions for how she and her sister could boost their protein consumption?
You know that we do. This is such a common struggle for so many people. And I feel for them because as a vegetarian, I've had to work really hard to make sure that I'm getting enough protein, but it can actually be pretty simple. She mentioned chicken, so she is not a vegetarian. So that makes it even easier because there's so many amazing animal-based sources of protein you can include. So the overall goal would be to get, you know, 1 to 2 servings at every meal. I always say the easiest place to start is whatever you're eating. So yogurt, I believe, was mentioned, protein shakes and chicken. You can just eat a little bit more of what you're already eating. So if you're having 1 serving of chicken on your salad, you can make it 1.5. If you're having, you know, 2 eggs with your breakfast, you can add 1/2 cup of egg whites to it. You can just add volume to the protein that you're already consuming. The second big tip is to have it prepped. We've talked about this before. I don't think either of us are the people that plan that like meal prep each individual meal, but having protein prepped and ready to go is 100% like crucial to meeting protein goals because you can add it to anything. So personally, for me, that means hard-boiled eggs and tofu and edamame in the freezer, Greek yogurt in the house and cottage cheese and things like that. You could also, my husband grills up a ton of chicken. We always have like low sodium deli meat. You can brown up some like, you know, lean beef or turkey or ground chicken, anything like that. And you can make it really simple. And that way you can throw it to any, you can add it to any meal and flavor it up with each meal. So having it prepped and in the fridge is what I find to be the most crucial component of hitting your protein goal, because then you can add it to any meal that you're having. So yeah, first tip is just add more of what you're eating to boost the protein. Second tip is you have to prep it. It's so essential to just have it ready to go and throw in any meal, salads, wraps, pasta dishes, like you can add it to any and everything.
I like your first tip, because I think that this is so underrated. I'm sitting down, maybe I'm getting a restaurant salad or something, and it comes out with chicken. And I think, oh, okay, high protein meal. Not necessarily. You're probably getting a 3-ounce little dinky piece of chicken, which granted, better than not having any protein. But do you know what I would recommend doing? Asking for double protein, which yes, you're going to pay a couple extra bucks for, but getting 3 ounces is not even a full 25 gram serving, 25 grams of protein. So that's going to be really challenging to get all the protein that you need in a day, which varies. Typically, the recommendation is your goal weight or your current weight, if you're looking at maintaining, times 0.7. That will equal the number of grams that you should be ideally aiming for. You can go up to your ideal weight or your current weight, if you're looking to maintain, times 1.2. So you can eat a ton of protein and be very, very healthy. Obviously, it helps keep you full, as we mentioned in the answer to question number one. Just eat more of it when you're sitting down to eat it. A lot of us start our day, well, I won't include myself in this because I do not start my day with 1 or 2 eggs. A lot of the women that I have worked with in the past eat 1 egg for breakfast with a piece of toast, or eat 2 eggs. And I'm like, that's a third of a meal. That's nothing, right? That's 7 or 14 grams of protein. And what we typically recommend to our clients is 25 plus grams at a meal is ideally what we want to aim for. And again, I'm talking about an animal source protein eater. So obviously as a plant-based eater, it can be a little bit more individualized. But you mentioned the egg whites. If you don't want to add liquid egg whites, could you add something like turkey bacon or chicken sausage, or have an addition to that egg, or just use an extra freaking egg? I also will throw in tip number 3, which is, can you choose a fat or a carbohydrate that is also contributing protein at that meal? So you have your protein source, let's stick with chicken since that's kind of the example we're abusing in this response. And maybe I would typically have it with, I don't know, rice. Okay, cool. Rice is a great carbohydrate, but it doesn't give me any protein. Do you know what I could swap it out with though? Quinoa, which has 7 grams of protein per half cup serving. Beans, and I'm talking like black beans, kidney beans, etc., not green beans, 7 grams of protein per half cup serving. I could also incorporate some like lentil-based or chickpea-based pasta as opposed to regular pasta. I'm getting a ton of protein from my carb source that I wouldn't typically get. And that is obviously just adding more to my total protein consumption throughout the day. I think that's, for me, it's a game changer.
I totally agree. I like that you added that, because a lot of my protein comes from those like sneaky little added sources, or like I'll buy a wrap with higher protein. I love a chickpea pasta. Also, side note with the eggs, adding half a cup of cottage cheese into your scrambled eggs is delicious. It's so, so good. You got to cook it a little bit longer for the water to like dissipate, but delicious. And adds volume and adds a ton of protein. Adds like 12 grams of protein to your meal. So yeah, adding protein to what you're already eating. But yeah, being on the lookout for those little things that you don't actually think of as protein sources, but contribute a little bit. And that adds up over the course of the day.
Yeah. I also think a big game changer is what you're snacking on. So I think the typical snacks that we think of are primarily carbohydrate only, pretzels, chips, crackers, cookies, granola bars, things like that. If you swap that out for something like a serving of cottage cheese with fruit, or Greek yogurt with fruit, or I'm a big fan of no cow protein bars, simply because I can't do dairy, they're dairy free. I get 20 grams of protein in that protein bar. So it gives me an additional serving. Do you know how many grams of protein a serving of pretzels gives you? Nothing. And I'm not hating on pretzels, but like it just changes the game. You get an entire extra serving comparatively to nothing, which is just going to make it easier to fall short of your protein goal.
Do you know what I am a more of a like eat three or four meals person as opposed to snacks. But one of my go-to snacks, if I need a snack, I'll do two of the light cheese sticks. I like the light ones because they are a little bit higher in protein. I believe the two, it's like 50 calories and 6 grams of protein for one. So I'm getting 12 grams of protein for 100 calories and two delicious cheese sticks, and I can eat it on the go. It's really, really good. And I mean, that right there is about half a serving. So you can pair it with something else, like we've been mentioning. I don't know, maybe a hard-boiled egg or something like that to really round out that protein. But that's a great, easy thing to add to your snack too, just to bump up that protein a little bit throughout the day.
And note, we're suggesting snacks that also don't require a ton of time because we're not all about that life, right? Like middle of the afternoon, you're getting ready to transport kids for a couple of hours. You need something fast. So protein bar, well, again, I, like you, Lauren, big advocate of like actually sitting down to eat a meal. It's a great quick on the go. Cheese sticks, great quick on the go. I know cottage cheese, Greek yogurt, you need a spoon. Ready to drink protein shake. That's another option, right? Just some things that make your life easier.
I literally had to eat twice this week, dinner in the car, like driving from one kid thing to the next. And I posted what I was eating and somebody put, "This is your dinner?" And I said, "This is the best I could do in the situation." And it was over 30 grams of protein. I included, my favorite bars are the Bear Bell bars and the two cheese sticks. I had some pistachios in there. I cut up a bell pepper before I left. It took minutes to throw together. I ate it on the way, you know, from one thing to the next. It checked all the boxes and it was over 30 grams of protein by the time, you know, you added the cheese sticks, the bar and the nuts. I had some Wheat Thins in there that I had thrown in there too. So it was a delicious meal, checked all the boxes. No, I didn't sit down and eat it really mindfully. I was driving, but it got over 30 grams of protein in the car and I was pretty impressed with that.
As you should be. I think sometimes those adult Lunchables or like the charcuterie board style girl dinner, we don't think that it counts as a full meal, but if you need it to, and you're being purposeful about what you're incorporating and you're not just having like wine and cheese, it can actually be a really beautiful balanced meal. So I saw your picture. It was beautiful.
Well, that was another thing too. I think people were like, this would be a snack. It was about 600 calories. So it was not like a small dinky meal either. So I think that that's just another example of like, things add up quicker than you realize. Yeah. Those little like snacks here and there might be more than you realize, but yeah, great meal on the go, literally driving.
Okay, Lauren, final question before we wrap up. This is a fun one. What is the worst nutrition choice you have ever made?
Oh my gosh. Okay, the first thing that comes to my mind, and I think I've talked about this before on here, is I remember being in high school and deciding, okay, I have a couple examples from high school. So clearly I was just throwing spaghetti at the wall, hoping to figure out what worked for me. I remember one day where I thought, oh, I can eat, I'll just eat this protein bar for the whole day. I'll make it last all day. And did it, was probably starving. Can't imagine. I don't remember the aftermath of it, but I'm assuming it wasn't great. So I do remember that very clearly, having this day where I'm like, I'm just going to start eating just these bars for the day. Two other examples was the second one was my breakfast used to be these Special K pastry thin things that were probably like 100 calories or something of just pure sugar. But they were Special K, so they were marketed as healthy. And I would eat those and then wonder, why am I so hungry all the time? Why can't I make it through, you know, the morning without thinking about food? So yeah, that was a little thing I tried in high school for a while. And I also remember trying to just eat Nutri-Grain bars for my lunch, just the bar. That was my whole lunch. So, and coming home and snacking on pickles actually to bring it all the way back around because they were like no calories. So a lot of really poor choices from my teen years that, yeah, never led me anywhere good. And I can look back now and be like, oh, that was the start of just a really intense downward spiral with my relationship with food and my body. Not a great place to start.
Do you know what's so sad is like, clearly trying to subsist. I don't know what that word actually means. Trying to survive on one protein bar a day is not a great idea. And I'm about to tell you a story that's like equally as disordered, like so bad.
Yeah.
And yet I would put money on the fact that it's relatable to most of the women listening in one way, shape or form. Like they've been there, done it, like it's so normalized. It's disgusting. Okay. The first thing that came to mind when I read this question, And by sharing this, we are in no way encouraging this kind of behavior. In fact, we're advocating for the complete opposite.
Oh, God, no.
We are sharing some of our worst nutrition choices, I hope, to show relatability. Like, we have been in those really dark and dangerous places. And thankfully, they are far, far, far behind us. And now I would argue that we both have really happy, healthy, confident relationships with food. And it is possible to come out of those dark spaces, because at the time I thought I was going to live there forever. I was in college, so a little older. I don't even think I can blame it on my teens. I might've been like 20 or something. Anyway, I vividly remember an average day for me would be eating frozen grapes. That was it. Frozen grapes, because it would take me longer to eat them. Therefore I would eat fewer. And then I would go to the gym and run 5 miles. Granted, I hadn't even eaten 500 calories, right? But here I am trying to burn hundreds of calories. And then I would come home and I went through a kick where my lunch was celery dipped in salsa, because those were negative calorie foods,
yep.
Right? Not actually a thing, right? I'm using air quotes. They're not negative calories, but they have very, very, very few calories. I would basically like poop salsa, because that was all I was eating, was like vegetables and fruit, right? So like liquid bowel movements, gross TMI, but that was my life. And then I would come into my dorm at college and pop CLA, which was supposed to be a fat burning supplement. Now, okay. I was not one to experiment in college, like didn't even really go out and drink, never tried drugs. Like that just has never been it for me. And yet here I was taking weight loss supplements as an emaciated, periodless college student. So for me, that's just like, I look back at that and I'm like, what the fuck, Nicole? Like that was so messed up, you know, it was just so messed up. And then my dinner would be like a roasted squash and zucchini with some popcorn. And I've shared before that like I was logging every single thing in my MyFitnessPal, and I would have to come in at 999 calories or fewer every day. Keep in mind, I had already burned 500 running. And so I was trying to exist on less than 400 calories a day. Like, it's no wonder my bones started fracturing and my period was MIA for years. That was the worst. That was the worst.
Yeah, I took them. I remember I had a short stint with some fat burners for a while. My mom found them. I was still living at home. And she found them and took them away. I do have another one that maybe like is a little less extreme, if I can share. Like those were like, I mean, those are some pretty extreme examples that we just shared. My other one, if I could be just like bring it slightly more real, not realistic, because those are the real life examples, but less extreme. Becoming a vegetarian without properly educating myself on how a balanced vegetarian diet looked like. Because for years, like all throughout my 20s, it was grilled cheeses, cheese quesadillas, French fries, cereal. Like that was maybe not all my 20s, about halfway through my 20s. That was kind of what I lived off of. And that is not a balanced diet. You are not getting enough protein. You are not getting enough just variety. I wasn't a huge vegetable eater. I really just lived off of these pretty ultra processed carbs and, you know, cheese and bread was a lot of it. So that would be a slightly less extreme example, but that was something I probably should have looked into a little bit more when I decided to really become a vegetarian of, okay, how can I make this much more balanced, more satiating, and more nourishing than living off of cereal, cheese, and bread?
You know, yesterday I heard an expression, Mike Milner, he's a nutrition coach. I was listening to his podcast. I can't stand the ads on his podcast. Like, every time I listen to an episode, I'm like, I'm done listening to this show. But the content is so good. It's just the ads, like, oh, I can't fast forward quick enough. Anyway, that was such a tangent. I'm glad we don't have ads on here, but it does mean that we're not getting paid for doing these for you. Like, we just are sharing this free content because we love you. And we don't want you to make shitty nutrition choices like we have any longer than is necessary. Anyway, he had an analogy that I'd never heard before that I really liked. He was talking about like, you know, the shitty things that happen to you in life, ergo, like these bad nutrition choices, these poor nutrition choices that we made. He said, you can either put it in the trunk or you can put it in the tank. And so you can put it in the trunk, meaning like you can allow it to weigh you down and just carry it with you like a load anywhere you're going on your journey to progress, which is just going to make sure you get there slower, right? With a lot more guilt and judgment and shame. Or you can put it in the tank and use it as fuel to power yourself forward. Like, hey, that was my reality. That was a really scary, dark, dangerous reality. And I'm so glad that doesn't have to be my reality anymore. And I'm so passionate about helping other women to ensure that they don't have to walk down a similar path. And I really liked that. So I guess the moral of this question is, if you have poor nutrition choices, maybe trying the same diet for the seventh time, or I don't know, pairing more restriction on top of restriction and beating yourself up for binging when the binging is a solution to the restriction, whatever it is, you have the opportunity, just like we do, to either put it in the trunk and weigh you down, or put it in the tank and allow it to fuel you forward to creating a better, happier, healthier, more confident relationship with food.
Yeah. It's like, that's a great visualization for what we say all the time is, how can we fail forward? It's just failing forward. It's another way of saying it, you know? And I think that's a really important part of the coaching process is we're not failing, we're learning. And then we can take that and move forward with it. And yeah, just you have more knowledge and yeah, you're fueling your progress really.
If we can help you do that, we're happy to. Let us help you put those nutrition choices that no longer serve you in the tank and create bigger, better, more powerful progress.
That's what we're here for.
Coaching application is always in the links below. And as always, if you have questions that you would like us to answer in our next Q&A episode, hit Lauren and I up on Instagram or Facebook, wherever you can find us. Basically, we're always hanging out. Our DMs are always open.
We'd love to hear from you.
All right, guys, catch you on the flip side.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.